praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this day and time. Thank you, Lord, for these faithful people, Lord. Thank you for your blessings, for, Lord, revealing to us the things that we need to know. For your word accomplishing in us what it was sent to accomplish, Lord, and not returning void. We thank you, Lord, for fellowship with you, where we've gathered in your name. You're in the midst, Lord, even if it's only two of us, Lord, according to your promises, Lord. We thank you for this day. We've come to praise and to worship you and to exalt you and lift you up. So we surrender to you, Holy Spirit. Bring our Father's will into this house and in each one of our lives. These human temples, Lord, we exalt you this morning. We proclaim our love. We say this is your time. We are your people. And Lord, we thank you for feeding us your word this morning. We hide behind the cross, Lord. We exalt you, not man. And we thank you for this day. This is a day you have made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this blessed time that we have this morning to share with one another and to share with you also, Heavenly Father. We thank you for each and every person that's here today. We ask you to be with us and to help us to have our spirits open to receive what you have for us today, Heavenly Father. We ask you to bless this offering. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that you hear and answer prayers, Lord, and that it's your heart, Lord, to bless your people, Lord. It's your heart to keep your people, Lord. Father, we thank you for the miracle. That's what it is, Lord, the miracle that we prayed for Harry last Sunday. And, Lord, you intervened. We thank you for your inevitable, supernatural intervention in Harry's life and in all of our lives. So, again, this morning, Lord, we honor your word. We honor the living word, Lord Jesus. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here. Lead us, guide us, exhort us, comfort us, build us up and edify us today according to your plan and your purpose. For this we praise and thank you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, I want to give you a rundown of what happened with me last week. We prayed last Sunday about the cancer of my esophagus. Well, when I got the first pictures, when they did an endoscopy, it showed a large growth in the esophagus. And I went for an ultrasound on Thursday. And the doctor came back in after it was done, and he came in and he said that all they could find was a lesion that is there. But it hasn't touched the walls. It hasn't touched the muscles. It hasn't touched anything except this little wee spot. And we give you praise,
you,
Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Lord. We give you praise.
When I go back to the what they're going to call a CAT scan, they want to check the lymph nodes and the liver, because they say that whatever comes from the esophagus usually goes to the lymph nodes and it goes to the liver and whatever.
Nothing gets through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Exactly.
Amen.
And I have different blood because I am in the
That's
blood.
Right. That's right. Amen.
Different blood. So now I am believing that this is going to be all gone by the time they get to the CAT scan and they can say we can't see anything. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for your answer prayer. And also, keep saying to the Lord, thank you and praise you for everything that you received and what I've received. Okay?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Oh, let's give him a good praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, there's a few of you who probably never heard this before, but a lady and her little boy were in church one Sunday morning, and when the message was over, the pastor went out and stood on the steps, and he was greeting the people as they left the church, and the lady came up to him, and she says, "Oh, pastor," she says, "I am just so filled with your message. It was wonderful. I'm just filled with your message." And the pastor turned to the little boy that was with her, and he said, "Well, son, how do you like it?" He says, "Yes, pastor." He says, "I got my belly full, too." Moving right along. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I'd originally thought we'd go through all 30 verses, but I don't think so. I think I'm being led to just go through the first 13. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. This is not going to be a long message, but I believe if you'll listen and give heed to the Word of God, not my Word, but the Word of God, it'll bless you and it'll help you and it'll give you some more understanding than maybe what you had when you came in today. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. And this is important. Verse 25, or chapter 25, verse 1. It says, then the kingdom of heaven, and this is Jesus speaking. For those of you who have the red letter editions, find it's in red letters. So that means that Jesus is speaking here. It says, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. They all had a focus. They had a purpose. The reason they were there is for the bridegroom. However, we're going to learn some things through this parable. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. I mean, remember the story of what Mary and Martha and what Jesus said to Martha. Martha, Martha, you're troubled by many things, but Mary has chosen the good thing. Mary was concerned with the worship of God, of seeing Jesus and hearing what Jesus had to say and not wanting to miss a thing. Her focus was on the Lord, which is what? Our bridegroom. Amen? So our responsibility is to keep our focus right where that is and to make sure that we obey His commands to the best of our ability. How many know we're not alone in this? That He is our advocate. He is our helper. He's our co-laborer with us. Amen? Now verse 4 says, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now remember the 5 foolish, they didn't take oil. Why was that? My belief is that they were like Martha. They were concerned about other things and didn't take seriously the fact that the bridegroom was coming. They aspired to be with the bridegroom, to be the bride, but they didn't do what was necessary to be able to be in that position. And we'll find out what happens. But the wise had oil. They took it serious. They were there for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that was to receive the bridegroom and to go in with the bridegroom, to be married to the groom. Verse 5. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. They were tired, and so they went to sleep. Then verse 6. And at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming out to meet him. The bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and for you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And that's the way, that's really what we see in the world today, even in Christian, in fact, in Christian communities especially. It's not that the world is rejecting Jesus, but Christians are missing the boat. They're missing their focus. Their focus has been detoured from looking for His glorious appearing. And that's something we dare not do. The Scripture says He'll come as a thief in the night. The bridegroom came at midnight. And they were caught by surprise, the ones who were not ready. The Bible even says that there's going to be those who are ready and those who are not. The Bible says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many will go in that gate. But I believe it's in Matthew chapter 7, it says, but narrow is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Why is this phenomenon? It's because people don't have their focus where it belongs. It's because people are not looking for His glorious appearing. They're not looking for that. They're distracted by a lot of other things, a lot of other words, a lot of other goings-on in their lives, in their communities, in the church, and their focus is not where it belongs. Our focus should be that we're in a race and we're running that race to the very end. And in this race, we're all winners if we run to the very end. If we don't get weary in our doing good and our running our race. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Now let me tell you something about this verse according to the original language. The word door in the concordance and in the original language, it's an open door. It's used of the opportunity of doing something. The door of the kingdom of heaven, the door of the kingdom of heaven is likened to a place, and what it denotes is the conditions which must be complied with in order to be received into the kingdom of God. So we have five who were in compliance with what God required, what God wanted, and what God commanded them, but five who took it lightly, who weren't serious until it was too late. And it was too late. Verse 11. Afterward, the other virgins came saying, Lord, open the door to us. But he answered and said in verse 12, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. And in verse 13 is the command, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Now this is a sad thing, and yet this is what we're going to see and what we're seeing in this life right now, in this day and hour. There are things going on all around us that should be causing us to be in God's presence continually, to pray without ceasing as we're commanded, to run to the Lord, to be in His presence, to talk. You don't have to stop what you're doing and get down on your knees. You say that you can do that in your closet, but when, man, pray without ceasing, that means every day, praying in the Spirit, praying with your understanding, and being in God's presence, praying about things. And I'll just throw in a footnote here for free. You know, one of the greatest things is we all pray for the needs that we have. Right? Is everybody? But what would happen if we started praying for the needs of others and for enough, not only to meet our needs, but the needs of somebody else? What do you think would happen in the kingdom? It would be a major blessing. Now, God promised to bless us if we'll obey Him, if we'll serve Him, if we follow what He says. But what would happen if we forgot about ourselves, like Gene was playing when we walked in this morning, as we just were getting ready to begin church? You know, the song that says, forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. Worship Jesus Christ the Lord. If we will continually worship and praise the Lord, and then as the songs we sang this morning, changing our heart, asking God to change our hearts would change so that we're not so fixed, focused on us, but we're focused on the kingdom. And how many know that's what it's all about? When Jesus came, He didn't preach Himself. He didn't preach salvation. He preached the kingdom of God, God's righteousness. And that's what got people saved. He was being obedient to what the Father spoke to Him was His will, was God's will, His Father's will, and also what was the will to bring about our salvation, our redemption, our being restored to right relationship from where we were because of the sin of Adam and the deception of Eve. Are y'all with me so far? Turn with me, if you will, to Titus chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 11 through 15. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. Here's what it says. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, right now. And we should be looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Anointed One, with the anointing. Verse 14, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. So the grace of God has appeared to every man. No man can stand without excuse. In this day and age of satellites and radios and television, I mean, the gospel's been preached, whether it was physically or in some other way, but there's also been missionaries that have gone, like Pastor Justice, Pappy Daniel, that are out proclaiming the gospel. People like Doris Stotler, who's the head of that Bungoma ministry, that God called her to be the missionary over there. Left Las Vegas at the age of 54 or 58, called out of that scene. God saved her, filled her with the Holy Spirit, and now she's out doing the work of the gospel, and now she's, what? Donna's not here. What is she, in about her 80s now? Past 80. That's a good picture right there. You know, we got to get powered up. We got to get powered up every day so we can continue to walk with the Lord. So we got to get plugged into that power source. Amen? That power supply. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to tell you another little story. There's a lady by the name of Sandy Brown who also was called out of the scene in Las Vegas. She was a chorus girl. She was into all kinds of ungodly things. And God saved her, brought her out of that scene and filled her with the Holy Ghost, and called her to go to Rhema for some training to serve the Lord. And the girls would come and they would say, you know, these girls would get saved after her and who knew of her testimony. And they'd get all excited and they'd say, man, Sandy, God's calling us to go back and minister to those people. And Sandy's reply, realizing what she had been called out of and what they had been called out of, said, girls, why, if God called you out of there, what makes you think He wants you to go back? Now, I'm not saying there wasn't ministry that was necessary there, but when God calls you out of darkness, the last thing you want to do, or if I can just be graphic what the Word says, like a dog returning to his own mama, go back into that environment. Go back into that environment. He called you. He set you apart. He brought you from darkness into His marvelous light, and that's where we need to remain, is in His light. Looking for Him. Looking for His glorious appearing. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Psalm 23, verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days. Well, in fact, it says all the days of my life. And I will dwell. We will dwell. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that God's judgment may come on this land. I'm not going to dispute that. But it will not come to us. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And God has always, throughout every situation, if you go back and read with Gideon, even when the people were in sin, because of the people who did serve the Lord, who didn't lose focus, God protected them and saw them through. Even in the time when the famine was in the land, when God called Joseph, Joseph was the one called. And he was the one who God was using to bring about the end events that God said in Genesis 59, I believe it's Genesis 59, that His whole purpose for what He did was to save men alive. And that means even His stinky old brothers who sold Him into slavery, who wanted to murder Him and take His coat, at least they had sense enough not to do it. They killed something else and put the blood on it, deceived the dad, broke their dad's heart because they were too prideful to receive what God had set in motion. Now, I'm not sure there wasn't a little pride and arrogancy on Joseph's part, but we'll know that when we get to heaven. You know, about bragging about what God had done. It's good to proclaim what God's doing, but sometimes there are things that God speaks to us that we need to just sit on until the appointed time. How many know what I'm talking about? And so this might have added too, but through it all, through everything, through being lied about, accused of having a relationship with the wife of his captor, he stayed faithful. He didn't turn on God. Imagine what he went through, if you can for a minute. Here he was doing what he thought God wanted, and at every turn, it looked like God had forsaken him. I mean, to the normal eye, that's what you would think, right? But he stayed faithful. And through it all, God raised him up through every one of those situations and made him, what? The head and not the tail. Above only and not beneath. Isn't that right? And Joseph became, even though Israel and the Jews were arch enemies of the king and the king's people, he became the second only to the king in leadership in the land. And his brothers and his dad were saved. And he didn't restore injustice for justice and righteousness. God supplied their need, and he used Joseph to do it. Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. The question is asked here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation in this judgment that's coming on the world, America, God knows those things. Those are things I personally am not concerned with. My concern is to make sure that my life is right before God. It's not wrong to know about those things. It's not wrong to look at those things, but we need to be careful where we put our focus. And so that's what we're admonished here in verse 35 through 39 of Romans chapter 8. It said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The question is asked, shall tribulation or distress? How many have distress in their life right now? Come on, be honest. Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Doesn't make any difference what the distress is. We're victors. We're more than victors. We're more than conquerors. Amen? Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. For what sake? For the sake of the Lord. For the sake of the kingdom. In other words, there are things that happen to us. Can mean physical death, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's not necessarily what it means here. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Isn't that kind of what you feel like sometimes with everything that's going on around you? But your focus has to be unwavering. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you don't faint, if you don't lose heart. In verse 37, yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Listen now. Examine yourself and see if this is where you are. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Doesn't your Bible say no weapon? Literally said that means no tool, no plan, no device, no attack, no weapon that's formed against you for your demise, to bring you down, to steal the word from you, will prosper. And again, another free footnote, the Bible says that when the condemner comes or people come, and they condemn you or they rise up in judgment against you, the Bible says your heritage is to condemn those words. Not the person, but the words that rise against you. God sees you saved, covered in the blood, and as Donna said, nothing gets through that blood. Nothing gets through that blood. Oh, you should have picked a good place. You should shout. You should be shouting. Missed a good place to shout. Let's go back to one of the scriptures we've talked about for a long time in this church. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know, this is the Lord speaking again. This is God speaking. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. If we weren't going to have and we weren't going to walk in peace and there wasn't a hope and a future for us, then what are we doing here? What are we doing here? If we're going to suffer the same fate as the rest of the people who deny God, then what are we doing here? What do you do with all the promises of God? They're in Him, yes and amen, so be it. They're sure, they're steadfast, they're unwavering. He says, I am the Lord and I don't change. He doesn't change His mind. He doesn't change His tactics. He doesn't change what He said. He said, if I don't perform my word, then I've got to destroy myself. Now, God said that. I didn't say that. So what do I have because of that? What does that do for me? That gives me surety. That gives me hope. That gives me peace and rest that God has me in the palm of His hand. Hasn't He said that He's written His name on our foreheads? That's a tattoo I want. Thank God it's invisible, but it's there, and my life should be showing that. But He also says, you are engraved in the palm of my hand, and who's able to take you out of my hand? Who? What? You know, the crux of this entire message is summed up in a very poignant and powerful passage. And we're going to read it once more. If we're to suffer the same fate as people who don't know the Lord, then, again, we're in a hopeless state, aren't we? But here's what the Bible says. Psalm 91. It sums it up so clearly. The entire chapter sums it up so clearly. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Dwell literally means to abide, to live, to take up residence in. The secret place of the Most High. That's what dwells mean. And abide means the same thing. You'll abide, you'll live, and you'll dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. And with boldness and confidence, we can say of the Lord, He is our refuge. He's my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Nothing or no one else. In Him will I trust. And then He says, surely. And He's not talking about a lady there. He's talking about the surety we have in Him. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. In the King James, it says noisome pestilence. That means whatever's coming, we're going to be delivered from. We're going to be protected through it. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth will be your shield and buckler, or simply stated, your protection. You will not be afraid of the terror by night. Whatever goes in the night, whatever harm comes in the night. Remember, the enemy wants to do things under darkness. That's what criminals do, and people who are not godly, they skulk around in the darkness. Nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness. I think we just covered that. Nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. I'm not going to go into a lot of political things, sayings, and talking right here, but I am going to say, this country, those who don't know God have chosen, and some unfortunate people who have not paid attention to the Word of God are headed for, and we're in the middle of what could be the greatest catastrophe this country has ever seen. Greater than a nuclear bomb, greater than all the wars put together, in the fact that this country is selling us down, selling our families down the river, putting debt on us, spending money that they don't have, wanting to cut things that were things. And again, once again, the church is the one who is supposed to be doing these things. But the church relinquished their place. They became intimidated and timid instead of bold and confident in God and began to back off. And the enemy snuck in like a thief in the night, like the Bible says. The enemy snuck in like the thief and liar he is. Devised deception, and now God is all but extinct in their eyes, or they hope, from every aspect of our life. separation of church and state, and they don't even know what that means. Anyway, enough said about that. I serve a risen Lord. I serve a God who's alive. I serve a Savior who's at the right hand of God, making intercession for me. He's my high priest. He's my advocate. He's my Savior. He's my valiant one. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Verse 24 says, "Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." He's telling you, be of good courage, because He strengthens you and your heart. When your heart feels weary, when you feel weary. And who's He saying it to? All who hope in the Lord. Still some good stuff to come here. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. "For he who sows to his flesh will of his flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." What's the key? Sowing to the flesh brings what? Corruption. Sowing to the Spirit brings what? Everlasting life. 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 Simple as that. You're right, Lisa. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Peter, or if you just want to write it down, I'll read it. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 10. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 10. "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord." How does grace and peace come? How is it multiplied to you? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, "And His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through what? Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us, by which have been given to us, exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. If these things are yours and abound in you, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." It says you'll not be unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble." I'm going to read verse 11 too. "For so an inheritance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And I want to tell you, the kingdom is not talking in the sweet by and by. We are in the kingdom of God right now as believers. We're walking in the kingdom. We have the benefits. What good does it do us to have all the blessings and things that God promised in the sweet by and by, in the hereafter? That's right, here and now. Testimony after testimony in this room of God's goodness. We just heard one about Harry. Thank the Lord. I'm still praising God over that. Thank you, Lord. He hears and answers prayers. He knows. Hallelujah. Let me read Ecclesiastes 8, 5 through 7. Listen carefully. "He who keeps his..." Listen, this is so powerful. Thank you, Lord. "He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful. Now, I can hear the hearts. Harmful? But what about the situation I'm in right this moment? Whatever that may be. Is it harmful to you or just a setback? It's not comfortable, but is it harmful to you? Or do you look at it as, rather than a setback, an opportunity for God to come on the scene and show Him Himself strong in your behalf and for you to see that you're more than conquerors? Jesus paid the price. Now you reap the benefit, which makes you more than a conqueror in that situation. He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. He said He'd never turn His back on you. As His children, if you continue to follow Him, there's no downside to this. And let me just remind you, to some degree, I'm in the same position as some of you all. I think everybody here knows that. I've not been secret about it. But God's been faithful. I thank God for the way He does it, but He doesn't do it the same way in everybody's life. But the point is, He does it. I'll just share this with the people who are new here. I can remember standing in my living room when my daughter was pregnant with Kylie, my granddaughter. And she was on maternity leave from her job, and I had just lost my job. And we literally didn't know where our next meal was coming from. Literally. The income had stopped. We didn't know how we were going to pay the rent. It looked like the enemy just flat stomped all over us. But in my heart, in her heart, we didn't stop there and look at the calamity. We went to the Lord. What did God tell you to do? What did He say? Call upon the Lord in the time of trouble, and He will show you what? Great and mighty things which you can't even conceive, which you don't even know. So I stood there and I said, Father, You know the situation. You know where we're at. Without You, we're sunk, but we have You. I trust You. And it wasn't long before I got a job. I think it was a month or two, maybe not quite that long, maybe a month. And I got a job that paid more than I've ever been paid in my life. And not only that, a promotion in that job within the first 2 weeks I was there. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. What did He say? But our God will what? Supply what? All of your needs according to His riches in glory. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Listen carefully. Verse 5, Ecclesiastes chapter 8. He who keeps his commands will experience nothing harmful. And a wise man's heart discern both time and judgment. Because for every matter there is a time and a judgment. Through the misery of man, or though the misery of man increases greatly, for he does not know what will happen, so who can tell him when it will come? There is a time of judgment for us. And when we get judged, it won't be for our wrong. It'll be for what we did with the knowledge we had and for the kingdom of God. And that means, after that, what's left? The reward of serving Him. The great, I think it's the white throne judgment, is reserved for the end times to show the people and to show the people and replay for them what they could have had if they hadn't rejected God. And now they have no hope. They're lost and undone without God and His Son, and there's no hope. There is no hope. What does the Bible say today is? What's today? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful. Inconvenient, uncomfortable, an attack may come, but that's not the end. That's not the end. A wise man's heart discern both time and judgment. You know the time. You'll know. The Spirit of God will reveal it to you. And in closing, John 10:10. This is a verse every one of you know. If you don't, you should. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. We've talked about the promises of God this morning. We've talked about the fact that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. He's predestined us to be adopted. To be the adopted. Grafted in. We're no longer just sons, but we're heirs and joint heirs of the things of God. So no matter what you're facing today, don't lose heart. Remember what Psalm 91 says. Would somebody answer me, please? What can the devil do if you're sitting at the right hand of God and he's your footstool? Amen. Amen. That's why we have the whole armor of God, to withstand the fiery darts that come from the enemy. That shield of faith that deflects, not only deflects, but aggressively grabs and extinguishes those fiery darts and throws them to the ground. That's what your faith does when those darts come. The economy, because of foolish men, can I share something with you? I'm just going to be honest with you. I struggled this week. God, what do you want me to give? But in it also, I saw some things. It started with me watching a show called Undercover Boss. And I don't know how many of you know anything about the East or the Midwest. There's an outfit that was started by a family called Modell's Sporting Goods. Modell's. And this man went undercover to go into the company to see what was going on. And what he found was how out of touch he was with what was going on around him in his own company. Had no idea about the people or the things that were going on in the people's lives that were employees of his. And these were good employees. These were employees who cared about the company. One young man who had come out of drugs and things, who had watched calamity come in his family, but who had a heart for his younger brother. And everything he was doing was for his mother and his younger brother. And this touched this man's heart, this CEO of Modell's. He went to another stop and got with a gentleman who was a black truck driver and yard foreman. And he was trying to teach this manager how to drive. Well, needless to say, they never made it out of the yard. Scared the fire right out of this poor man that worked for him. He said, I can't let you drive out of the yard. Talking to the CEO of the company. But he was out of his element. These were things that touched the man's heart. And then he went to a store where a young black woman with a family had been living in a shelter for 2 years because she was homeless. Dear God. And this really broke his heart. Here she is giving her all for this company. Living in a shelter, kicked out of her home because of economic situations, the economic environment. And this man broke down and he cried. This is the first man that I've seen go above and beyond. This show is a good show, and they all do good things for these people, but this man went above and beyond. He handed her right there when he revealed who he was, a check for $250,000. He said, I want you out of that shelter tonight. Folks, that's the love of God. That's the kind of benevolence that God doesn't lose sight of, that he keeps record of. And my heart broke. Because I've tasted to some degree, in fact, exactly the same thing, but thank God,
through His mercy and grace, I haven't been homeless. But I don't have a home. Listen to what I'm saying. Yes, I have a roof over my head. But it's through the love and the caring of my family that I have that. I thank God for that. It's because of Him. And because of the love that we share. The same kind of love I have for you. And if you think you're not thought of, Lisa and Frank, Rob, you're thought of every moment of every day. I don't have a job. Quite frankly, I'm living on, by the grace of God, disability. And I'm able to do some things to help and contribute to my son and my grandson. They're going through a little bit of a tough time right now because there's a transition in his job. But I'm aware of this, and I was thinking about this young woman. This man went on and gave her some other things too. But he gave all of these people above and beyond. One man he gave $50,000 to. It's not the money, folks. It's the fact that somebody saw and they cared. They took the initiative to stand up and say, this is not right. And this man cared enough to go above and beyond. Not just give a mere little sum that'll be here today and gone tomorrow, but to bless them in an eternal way. That's what it's about. Five wise and five foolish virgins. Where's our focus today? Where's our focus today? I could have sat back and said, oh my God, what am I going to do now? Focused on the negative. And I'm a man just like any of the rest of you. But God has been faithful to me. In 48 years, He's never let me down. He's kept me. Even before I knew Him as a child, I knew He was there. I knew He was real, even though I didn't know Him until later on. I was 13. And He called me. Of all the people in the world, He called me. I still can't get over that. But I'm grateful. And I love Him with all my heart. And so my prayer, and I cried out to God, I'll just tell you, I cried out to God, one of the desires of my heart for many, many years now. God, I want to be able to do something in Your kingdom. Something. That's why it started with just the prayer, God, don't just bless me. Give me enough so that I can bless somebody else. And it's increased to where my heart's desire, and I say this to give glory to God. I don't want focus put on me. God deserves the credit and the glory, not me. Well, I want to finance the kingdom. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that's going to take. I want to be able to bless people. My heart is to be able to do for you and you what this man did for those people. And to point them to Jesus, to the Father. He's the one who deserves the glory. What you've got because of Him. It belongs to Him. It doesn't belong to you. Those of us who've had children, who have children, they're just on loan to us. They belong to Him. And we had a responsibility to bring them up in the right way. This is not to bring heaviness or judgment on people. I can tell you I made a terrible mistakes in my what I feel are terrible. And I know that because my kids are the kind of people they are today because of the hand of God, not because I was so smart or because I did things right, but because I taught them the ways of God. One of them has a wonderful husband. I have two beautiful grandchildren. I'm going to share another miracle with you. In the laws, there's so many quirks. When my granddaughter was born, the man who was her father, and my daughter repented, she wouldn't go and do what this man wanted her to do because she knew it was wrong in God's eyes, and it wasn't in her heart to do it. but you came clean. If you understand what I'm saying. Many of you were here, you know. She came clear and repented before God, before she ever talked to me, before I ever knew what was going on. In my house, if you made a mistake like that, you were on your own. You're gone. I'm talking about my father's house, my earthly dad. Don't come home. You're done. And as I came back from vacation that day and she sat in front of the house, brokenhearted, scared to death that she was going to be ostracized and kicked out, I began to weep. I began to weep. And I put my arm around her. And I told my kids, if you ever get into trouble, this is not what I was told, this is what God put in my heart. If you ever get into trouble, don't run from me. Run to me. I may not like it, and I may not be able to get you to do anything about it, but I'll walk through it with you. And when it's finished and over with, I will never use it against you or throw it in your face. She knew she had done wrong. She went to God in repentance. She came to me. And as I put my arm around her and wept, I said, God, forgive me for whatever my part in this was. And yet the Word of God says in John 1:13 that you were not born by the will of man or the will of flesh or by blood. You were born by the will of God. That's a final statement. That's a statement of finality. I don't care what circumstances were, how you were born or your children were born or what happened, if it was bad or good. They're here because God said He wanted them here. They were a plan of God. You were a plan of God. There's no mistakes in God. There's no accidents in the kingdom of God. We sit down with the pastor and his wife together. She told what had happened. Let me go back to what I started to say. Because that man wanted nothing to do with the baby and wanted it aborted, and she wouldn't do it, God, through His supernatural ability, understand when I tell you the courts are not in charge, the IRS is not in charge, God is in charge, that when they went to get the birth certificate for my precious granddaughter, my oldest granddaughter, the biological father is the man that I married to my daughter. I was able to do the service, one of the greatest joys of my life. And she's now legitimately Kylie Lauren Zamora. She's got a daddy who loves her. A good man. Ladies and gentlemen, many of you have experienced the miracles of God. If you haven't experienced the miracle, first of all, the fact that you got saved is a miracle. God's not done yet. And He never said this life was going to be a bowl of cherries, but He promised that He'd walk through you with it. And He would never leave you nor forsake you. And His plan is to prosper you and not to harm you. His blessings come according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He meets your needs according to His riches. He wants you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. It's not about money. It's about where you are with God right now. And what you're doing with what God's given you, with the knowledge you have. He doesn't hold you accountable for what you don't know. He holds you accountable for what you know. The Bible says, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered to them. I don't know about y'all. I owe Him everything. I owe Him everything. I'm who I am today. I'm where I am today because of Him. Because of His tender mercies, even before I knew Him, before the foundations of the world, He knew me. He called me and chose me. And you too. You too. This is not about me. This is about God and who He is. I don't know what God's going to do, but God knows my heart. Amen. You can't even comprehend how much He loves you. I've gotten to see glimpses. Some of you have gotten to see glimpses. Some of you are experiencing glimpses of how much He loves you right now. But but you can't comprehend it. You did nothing to deserve it, and nothing you do will cause it to cease. He said, even if you make your bed in hell, I'm there. It's your choice. It's your choice. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you need prayer today for anything, if it's just a prayer of agreement, or there's something you really need to pray, if there's something that's bothering you that you need to get off your chest, you don't have to confess it to me. If you want to, that's fine. I'm here to help you. I'm here to try with everything within me, with the help of God, to be a blessing to you. The people here the same way. The elders of this church. All I can tell you is if you leave here today with a burden, think carefully about whose fault that is. God's here. The presence of God is here to meet your need. And God changes things. Prayer changes things. And your situations are changing. I'm telling you right now, they're changing. I know because I'm praying, and I know people here who are praying. Focus is not on what you think you're missing or what you don't have in the physical. Focus should be on the spiritual. On what God's doing in your life. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What profit is there in that? None. The rich young ruler, he had wealth. But he didn't have the wealth. The wealth had him. That's where his focus was. That's why he went away sad. Money's important in this life, and God knows it. But money's not the only answer. If my experiences make me a better man, a better human being, and bring me to the place where I turn to God and become more in His image and likeness, then I've gained the whole world. Amen? Praise the Lord. If all hearts are clear, then we're going to pray. Turn our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Play it again, Gene. Father, I thank you for this day and I thank you for this message. I thank you for what you're doing in every heart, Lord. All of us together, Lord. As we sang this morning, Lord, you are the potter, we're the clay. Mold us and make us into what we want to be and we need to be, Lord, for your kingdom. So we can stand before you and hear, well done, good and faithful servant, in whom I am well pleased. Without you, we can do nothing, but with you, Lord, we can do all things, because you, the anointed one, Jesus Christ, strengthen us. I thank you, Lord, that you're working behind the scenes, even though it may not be visible this moment, to change the situations that have been meant for the harm of those who are in this house and even those who are outside of this house, Lord. That you're working. It doesn't make any difference what our physical eyes see. You're in charge. We give you all praise, all honor, and all glory. And I thank you, Lord, that we can anticipate, we do anticipate, your inevitable supernatural intervention in every circumstance, every situation in our lives. Thank you for your word this morning, Lord. Seal it in our hearts by the Holy Spirit of promise. And we give you all the praise and glory and honor forever. If you agree with that prayer, say amen. Now, Father, in Jesus' name we dismiss.
We sanctify the food, Lord, and the fellowship. We thank you for it. We give you praise for your provision. And thank you for supplying our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. You are dismissed.